We invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Sorry, we're all dealing with a little bit of throat issues here, and so it's been something that's hung on. Betsy was also telling me that she's still not feeling quite up to par, and so you want to be praying for her, if you will, as she's got a busy week ahead with using the voice, and so I encourage you to keep her in mind. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. In this passage, we're looking at the subject, of course, of faith. It may not appear to be just the simple thing of a communion kind of message, because we've been picking and choosing our chapters. However, it is such a text that I think has great lessons for us, even as we consider the communion table together today, because we do live and walk by faith. And so Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For if by the elders, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because he had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Let's pray. Father, guide us, I pray, with rejoicing hearts, with adoring hearts, with meditative hearts, and with thankful hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at our text of Scripture, certainly we've been going through this book of Hebrews place by place by place, looking at things that God's doing. And as we look at the sweep of things, we understand that the people that were the audience of the book of Hebrews were in danger of going back to the temple to worship once again. And they were in danger of walking away from the greater sacrifice found in Jesus Christ for the substitute of what the old pictures of sacrifices were with the temple and the worship that they had. And so they were in danger of following what in their day was something we see all around us today. The idea that you get to heaven by good works. What had been a religion that God established in Judaism of faith, looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ would die for them. And so the sacrifices preceded and portended what Christ would do. They pictured in their various ways what Jesus Christ's sacrifice was for us and for salvation of sinners. And so by faith, those in the Old Testament did what they did with an anticipation that in Jesus Christ, these greater things would occur. What had happened in the Judaistic religion was they had replaced or substituted faith with works. And so works-oriented salvation was the focus. And so they were in danger of turning back to something that is so prevalent in our day and age today. We got to be good in order to get to heaven, we say, or hear people say. Well, in Scriptures, we find much that relates to the idea that God had an intention that we focus upon Him and focus upon the greater sacrifice in Jesus Christ. He was the greater establishment over the law and over all the Old Testament things. He is the greater priest, and today we have faith that is being talked about in Hebrews 11 before we get into all these activities. And you and I look through this passage, Abel and Enoch, and then Moses, and then these others that we see listed by faith, they do these great things. And we sit here and say, well, what great thing am I doing? What is great about my activity? Well, the reality is, as we study our text today, we're going to come away with a number of little lessons, and I hope they're an encouragement to your soul. The description in verse 1 is really telling you something unique about faith. It's telling you that real faith is real seeing. That's one of the lessons that we'll have today. Real faith. Faith is real seeing. That's what this passage will teach us. You want to see what's around you? Then you got to have faith to have real seeing. Faith is real seeing. We're also going to find that God always writes the last chapter. in our lives. God always writes the last chapter, not us, not others, not others who would like to get in our way and define who we are. God always writes the last chapters, and he's going to do that as he reveals what this great report is that these individuals receive. Something else is interesting here. We move from the grand and the lofty. Here's what faith is, and it, by faith, the world, we know that the worlds were framed. This is the grand and lofty, down to the mundane. Abel offers a simple sacrifice, and that's the only thing we know about him. Or Enoch walks with God, the mundane and the daily, walking with God. And you know, we get stuck in the mundane and daily and wonder if we're acting in faith. And yet God's going to tell you that he writes the last chapter. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing with all this. And I found one other thing that I thought would be a great application, so I'm giving to these early, because I don't want you to get lost in the weeds of the what is faith and all that. Expositor's commentary puts something interesting here for us in our study that we will see. There is still an unseen force, Expositor says, that does not submit itself to experimental science. And that is the object of faith. I think that's kind of neat. You know, as we watch our kids being raised and being taught and going to school and learning all these things, they're talking about science and what can be proven and what can't be proven. We're assaulted by the news all the time of, you know, global warming this and who knows what else that and what's society doing and all these things. And so we're constantly being assaulted for our faith, and yet Expositor says there is still an unseen force that does not submit itself to experimental science. And if our young people grasp that, they wouldn't lose sight of who God is. There's still an unseen force that does not submit itself to experimental science, and that is the object of faith. There are things you just can't prove about God. So we have to trust him. That's what the subject of faith is about. So that's where we're going with our little lesson today as we look to the Word of God. We'll be seeing that faith matters in verses 1 and 2, that content matters, verse 3, that obedience matters in verses 4 and 5, and then endurance matters in verse 6. Faith matters, verses 1 and 2, content matters, verse 3, obedience matters in verses 4 and 5, and endurance matters in verse 6. It is a fascinating passage. Some describe verse 1 as being the definition of faith. Others will question that. Is it really a definition of faith? Well, we know faith is believing what God says. It's taking God's promises and acting upon them. That's why faith is real seeing, because by faith we know these things, because God tells us these things. Trust what he says. But essentially what verse 1's definition is a very practical one. Definition of faith in practical ways takes this form in my life. It will take this form. If I believe what God says, then faith becomes the substance of things hoped for. Faith also becomes the evidence of things not seen. They're kind of two sides of a coin. They are opposite on both sides of the coin, but they're both the same. The idea of that which is a substance, that which is an evidence. And then we see this little word, things. It's stuck there because it's a definite or a translation of a Greek word that is the word pragma. Pragma is the word we get pragmatic. The thing that is done, the thing that we will do, the thing that we would naturally do. So the word thing here is pragma, or a thing finished, a thing done. And that instructs us, doesn't it? Because faith is better than seeing, or is the real seeing. We understand there are things that we cannot see or feel or taste or touch. They're outside the senses, and yet they are done. They're accomplished. They're finished. We talk about salvation. When our Savior says it is finished, we don't see it, but we hear it and we know it because he says it is true. These are things done, practically done, accomplished, literally, physically accomplished by Jesus Christ. This is the real seeing. How we feel is not necessarily the real seeing. How we interpret is not necessarily the real seeing. How we experience is not necessarily the real seeing. The real seeing is what does God tell us about it, what he has done. And so now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We go back a couple of verses, the just shall live by faith. That's to be the quality, the characteristic of our life. We're to be the ones who really do see. And that's not to be braggadocious. It's simply because God opens up our eyes. The light of the gospel has been given. We're given insight because we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have the opportunity of being able to sift things through the Word of God. You have the privilege of being the real seer. Therefore, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance has been translated assurance. It's the word title deed. It's the idea of that which is underlies. It's that which stands under. If you have to show that you are a citizen of the United States in some form you're filling out, what do they ask you for? Well, so one thing from column A and certain things from column B, or this and that and the other thing, and you're pulling up, you're pulling together your file that says, this is what proves I'm a citizen. Essentially, that's the idea here. It's the substance. It's the file of everything you need to prove something. Faith is the substance of things done that we're hoping for. Isn't that cool? Do you understand the picture of what the Lord is saying here? He's defining faith by something it does in my heart. With faith, operating in our lives, saving faith and living faith and obedient faith, it is that pulling together of the file that's the assurance of something God has already done that is my grand hope of soul. Isn't that neat? The next little section of this, as we look at faith mattering, it says, the evidence of things not seen. So on one hand, we have assurance by this gathering of material. Here we have something else that ties into this subject of what faith is all about. Faith is a substance. Faith is an evidence. It's that by which a thing is proved or tested. It's being proven by a test being brought to bear. And so as you go through, obviously, we're going to see Abel. We're going to see Enoch. We're going to see Moses. They all get tested. And so these descriptions of what we find in the events of these other people's lives, they're fulfilling what faith is by definition in the way it acts. Faith has a dossier. It's got a gathering of things. And we have Abel identified as righteous. We have Enoch called into glory because daily he's walking with God. There's this gathering of material. But it's not just that. It's by what faith is tested and the testing of that which has been done by God comes into picture. God's work is always tested and it's always trustworthy. The evidence of things I can't see, the testing point of things I can't see. I know that God has done these things. I know that God has established things. I know that God has accomplished what's necessary for my salvation. I may not always feel that way. I can't always sense it, but I'll tell you what, it's a gathering throughout my life of those credentials, and it's also that by which my faith gets tested in the events of life. And there will be these tests that come and go. You and I may say, well, it's not really a big thing in my life. All I've got are these little small things. I've only got things from column B. I'm missing column A. You know, that's the way we all operate, isn't it? We don't seem to be able to measure up with the hall of faith. But I'll tell you what. What would be the one thing of victory that you've got to have? Well, your sin removed and be accepted into glory, right? That's what salvation is. That is not a small little thing, is it? If that's all we get in this Christian experience, as we look forward to glory, that's enough because it's all about the Lord. It's what He's doing. What has He done? I can't always see it. I can't always feel it. I can't always quantify it, but I'll tell you what. If there's just one victory that I've got to have for my own soul's sake, it's to have my sins forgiven and to be received into glory. One thing. All the rest is glory. Any other answer? Isn't it interesting that the Lord picks and chooses certain things? In Abel's life, it was one offering. One offering. And that's what the Lord talks about, one offering. One thing. Enoch, one thing. Isn't it good to have one God who is trustworthy in all things because when He says He's going to do something, He does it. He accomplishes it. Verse 2, faith matters because for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. In the Greek language, it wasn't that they earned it, it's that they received it by God. And he's about ready to tell us what those little testimonies were. God knew what he was doing with Abel, even though we don't know a lot about him. There's one thing we do know, and God gives him a grand record. Enoch, one thing we know really about him, apart from his age, his lineage, he walked with God and was not, because God forcibly took him from the earth. He lived, did not die. One thing we know. God writes the last chapter. God knows what he's doing in your life. There is a grand work that he's accomplishing, and it's finished in his sight. But there's one thing, one record God's going to make of your life. We may not know what it is. These all we know because of the way God reveals it. They obtained a good record. Faith matters. Content matters. Here's where we go from the simple, the information about what faith is into the grand and the sublime and the lofty. Verse 3, by faith we understand. That's that perceived by what is communicated to us. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, there's more than just what we sense. As a matter of fact, what we sense really is nothing. Faith is the real seeing, right? Faith is the real seeing. Therefore, there is a whole world out there beyond our senses that's even bigger and better and grander than anything we can imagine. By faith, then, therefore, we receive this information and we begin to act upon it, which informs our lives because we know God created this earth. And he uses a special word when he says by the word. It is not the word logos, which is the one we would assume would be there, speaking of Jesus Christ, speaking the world into existence like we find from John 1 or from Genesis. Instead, it's a special word which is articulate. It means the articulate word. Have you ever tried to understand somebody who has tried to speak English with a different accent? My precious mom, you know, she's gone through a stroke or two, and she has a difficulty understanding anybody with a foreign accent. And now she's having a difficulty because she was a Yankee from Philadelphia. She was in a nursing home, and she was in a hospital, and she had people with these precious Southern accents. And she didn't understand what was being said to her. She just couldn't process it. For her, the words weren't articulated as far as she understood. As far as everybody else, it's fine. I understand what you're saying. No problem. But my mom didn't quite get it. In a sense, our Lord picks a word here to teach us that when he says something, it is so articulate and so minute in detail that it is accomplishing a great thing. And of course, we see the worlds around us. God's majesty is revealed in this minimal way of his creation. And we see his glories, we see his mind, we see his wisdom, we see his order. We see all about him in many respects about this grand God who's our creator, revealed in this world that was created by an articulate word. God doesn't do anything by halfway measures. And you know, in your life, God won't do anything by halfway measures either. What he intends to do is not somehow confused with an accent. It's somehow not lost in translation, or somehow lost in translation. It's not going to be like that. What God does is he establishes and accomplishes. What he works, that thing, pragma, is what he accomplishes to infinite detail so that you and I are beneficiaries of all that he's provided. What a glorious thing that we have a God who has revealed to us that these worlds were created by his word exactly as how he intended them. And if that's the case, believers, then what do we have to fear? Because what he has articulated about you is for his glory. This is the lofty, the sublime. Therefore, in our text, he says, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. Where did you come from? Why are you here? All those big questions. You know, this Mother Earth concept falls away, doesn't it? Our God's a creator who's infinite. A God who has established a plan, and in his plan he has seen your life and established your life and its parameters and its borders. That's why Paul can say in Romans chapter 8, whom he foreknow, those he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. every little step along your way. Though it may feel like you're just in the mundane and the daily, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing with your life. So he begins to pick up for us, not just content matters here, which informs the way we walk and operate, but obedience matters. We're going to see substance and evidence that verse 1 talks about, evidence in both of these illustrations. First, Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's not specifically speaking of it being a blood sacrifice. It's going to speak about his heart. It's not a works-oriented salvation, but the relationship he has with God the Father. Is he obeying him? So he offered a more excellent sacrifice by faith because he was living in the sight of the fact that there's more to be seen than what he sees right here. I'm assuming that Cain, as he gathered the fruit of the field, potentially picked the best. And they were probably really good-looking zucchinis, if you can have such a thing. Squash, if you can have such a thing. Certainly, I understand what a good-looking apple looks like. But he gathered the best of what he had. And so on the surface, that looks a lot better than an animal sacrifice, doesn't it? But the Lord says it was a more acceptable sacrifice because the heart of Abel was different than the heart of Cain. Abel was accepted because, we read in the next verses, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Here's that record. God writes the book. Witness that he was righteous. God says he was righteous. Why? Because his heart was right with God. Because he had faith. By faith he did these things. And I'll tell you, that was a simple act, wasn't it? An offering. And that's what God writes about? Aren't there more things that you and I would like to know about Abel? Sure, more than just an offering. But God wrote about the offering. Believers in your life, God writes down the offerings. He writes down the little things. He cares about the little things. Oh, there's the one thing, that big thing that God has done, that being relieved of your sins and being called into acceptance into the presence of God, that's the one thing we really do care about. But what the Lord's writing down is our faithfulness, our mundane. Are you walking with God? Do you love him? Are you obeying him? By faith, he obeyed, and God said, that I'm going to write down. He obtained a record that he was righteous. Faith is the substance, that which stands under of things that God has done that I dearly hope for. And it is the evidence, that testing point. Faith is the testing point, as we find here, of things that are way beyond my senses. But God knows them. God writes down an offering, Abel. Good job. So God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. Here we are reading it today. By faith, Enoch was taken away to transpose is the idea. He was in this place, and then all of a sudden he's in this place, or this place if you want to think about heaven. He goes from earth, transposed. Wow, that's big. Well, not to what everybody could see. He just wasn't there all of a sudden. Everybody's looking around. Where's Enoch? Well, he was not. Wasn't here, but he's been transposed. Well, that's kind of a non-event for everybody but Enoch. Absolutely. But yet God wrote that down. It might be a non-event for us, our world around us, if we go, but when we go into the glory of God, that's a big thing. God writes it down. Isn't that neat? The testing point. The substance. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see or glimpse death and was not found because God had taken him. In other words, the sight was something that the average person around said, well, where's Enoch? I don't know. What happened to him? It was a blip. But in God's sight, there was a big thing that happened. God cared. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. What did they remember of him? That he pleased God. Believers, that's the mundane, that's the daily. Faith, the big thing God has taken care of, he always will. The big care from my heart, the big worry, the big wish, the big anticipation, glory, but the daily, I'll write down the sacrifice. I'll write the fact that now he's in glory. How How neat is that? To see a God who cares about these things. That's why verse 6 brings us to endurance matters. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Literally, without faith, it's impossible to please him at all, is what the Greek language says, at all. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're going back to verse 3, in a sense. By faith, we know that the worlds were formed by this articulate word of God. This is a trust. This is something God has accomplished. This is something he has done. There are things beyond our senses. It's a whole wide world, bigger than anything we can sense. It will dwarf our senses completely. Therefore, he who comes to God must believe that he is. I can't see him. You can't either. We haven't seen Jesus, but we know people who did. And Jesus revealed the Father as he met with them. And so through their eyes, we see God through Jesus. We must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, and in the Greek language, diligently seek him out. Believing he is. Why did Abel offer? Because God is. And diligently seek him out, a rewarder. Why does Enoch in the presence of God? Because he walked with him daily. Faith is the substance, the gathering of the dossier, the gathering of the materials, all that which stands under the proof of things that God has accomplished, things hoped for. And it is the evidence, the testing point of things we have never seen. That's the realm that God is calling us to remember and be. God is always the one who writes the last chapter. No matter what circumstance you're in, be faithful in the small things, the offerings and walking with God. Why? Because God writes the last chapter. He knows that point in time where he's going to write it down. He knows what that is. I don't. I just need to be obedient. I need to be faithful. Are you being faithful to the Lord till he comes? Real seeing is faith. Faith is real seeing. The grand and the lofty, down to the mundane and the daily, is kind of the way our lives work. Are you being faithful in the small things and in the daily process? And finally, there is still an unseen force that does not submit itself to the experimental science, and that is the object of faith. But you know, when we get to glory, that's where we will find the real reality is. Glory is the real reality. The Lord is the real reality. All of this around us is the testing time, the testing point. And so we're called to be full of assurance and conviction, to stand upon the truth, to live that truth in not a half-hearted way, a feeble way, a rash way. Our faith is not a rumor of hope, and it is not a child of a wish, one author said. And I love that. Your faith is not a child of a wish or a rumor of hope. What your faith is resting fully upon the promise of God. So our Lord says, remember his death until he comes. Salvation is nothing if it is not this kind of faith. And what the author of Hebrews was saying was, don't go back to the works-oriented salvation. If you're looking at works, that's all about senses. It's all about what I'm sensing. Do I feel justified? Do I have the sense that I'm doing things right? When God's the one who's the one writing things down, God's the one who says, believe me, trust me, because I've done all this for you. It is finished. What a blessed position we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we've looked to the Word of God, you will have prepared our hearts to rejoice in the very majesty of our great God and Savior. Oh, Lord, we owe you so very, very much. Because you are such a great and majestic God who loves us with an everlasting love. The passage in Jeremiah that we read earlier this morning is a passage that reminds us that you have plans that are beyond our wildest imaginations for us. So Lord, I pray that in light of these truths, first, who you are, and second, what you're doing for us, we would be confessing our sins. We'd be seeking to be right with God and one another, that we would be seeking to honor and love you with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourselves. Lord God, I pray that you will teach us to be humbled and to stand in awe of your majestic grace. In Jesus' name, amen.